In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. When you were young and you got a cut or something, did your mom ever say to you, "Don't pick at the scab, it's going to get infected"? James Garfield was elected president in 1880. 6 months later, he was shot in the back by a would-be assassin. This was July of 1881. The wound itself was not fatal. He lived some 3 more months, but then he died. What killed him was not the bullet, but infection. You see, every day, President Garfield's personal physician would pay a visit. And with unwashed fingers and unwashed tweezers, because they didn't know any better, he would probe at the wound to try to get that bullet out. The tragic part is that if left to its own, the flesh would have healed around the bullet perfectly fine, and Garfield would have just lived with it there. Not understanding about bacteria, not understanding about infection, as President Garfield grew worse, the doctor probed at the bullet all the more. And instead of helping, all that probing of an old wound allowed the infection to spread and led to a rather miserable death 3 months later. Mom was right. Don't pick at your scabs. They'll just get infected. And I think this can serve as an interesting and perhaps frightening illustration of sin and of our sometimes failure to forgive. When someone sins against you, the initial wound can hurt. No one's denying that. The initial wound can hurt, it can knock us down, it can be impossible to forget. But sometimes it's not the wound, it's not the sin itself that does us in. It is our failure to forgive. It's our unwillingness or inability to forgive and to let go of that hurt. Instead of letting go of the pain, we cling to it. We have a right to our pain. We dwell on it. We remember it. We probe and we pick at it. We rehash just how much that person hurt us. And in doing so, we don't let the wound heal, and we cause the hurt to repeat itself over and over and over again. And eventually, it's no longer the person's sin that even hurts anymore. It's our constant remembrance of the sin that actually is what hurts. And so spiritual infection, spiritual sepsis is the end result. And it's more miserable than the original hurt because that stuff comes from within. And today the church gives us the opportunity to let go. The church gives us the opportunity to forgive. And more than the opportunity, the church begs. The church pleads with us to start the season of repentance by letting go, by forgiving. To forgive is to stop probing at the wounds and to start to let them heal. Now, what forgiveness is not, it's not pretending it didn't happen. It's not pretending it didn't hurt. I chose an illustration of James Garfield getting shot in an assassination attempt to show that some pains are real. Right? I could have picked anything, but I picked something serious because some pains are real and some pains are big and some pains hurt. He got shot in the back. It happened. We get hurt. We get betrayed. We get neglected. We get cheated. We get spoken against. These things happen. What forgiveness is, it's the letting go. It's the letting go. It's the offering the hurt to Jesus Christ at the foot of his cross and letting the healing power of the Holy Spirit enter that dark place and fill it with light. And forgiveness, therefore, is not so much a feeling as it is a choice. And when the hurt is bad, sometimes it's a repeated choice that goes on and on and on because we have to choose every day to choose forgiveness. Jesus teaches us today, if you forgive others their debts, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their debts, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. It's not that God doesn't want to forgive you. It's not that he's unwilling or something. It's the reality that if you don't forgive, you can't be healed. Not even God can heal your wounds if you keep picking at them, if you keep bringing them back up. He's given us free will, and that's one thing he can't take away. Clara Barton, founder of the Red Cross, was a nurse, found herself treating a former love of hers, a former love who had betrayed and cheated her. And Clara's sister said to her, "How can you treat him? Don't you remember what he did to you? Don't you remember how he humiliated you, our whole family? Don't you remember?" And Clara Barton responded, "Not only do I not remember, I distinctly remember forgetting." Now, obviously, the brilliant Clara could technically remember, but what she was saying, what she meant was that she chose to let go. She chose to let go, something her sister was unable to do, but something Clara chose to do. She chose healing over infection. I distinctly remember forgetting. When those big sins come your way, and they will, and they do, and when you have trouble forgiving, there are a couple things you can do about it. One of those is find good in that person. It really helps. St. Basil the Great says, if you see your neighbor sin, immediately remember the good that they do. If you see your neighbor sin, immediately remember the good that they do. Nobody is all bad. Nobody. You're not all good. Nobody else is all bad. So remember some good in them. And it's not for their benefit that you think of the good they do. It's for yours. If you can come up with a few good things that person does, it will change your heart. It will change your spirit. It will change your mind. Find good in that person, and you will see the image of God in them again. And the second thing, if you're having trouble forgiving, is do something good for that person. Don't just remember, but do something good for that person. And this is from the mouth of our Savior himself. Just before Jesus taught us about forgiving others their debts, he said, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say," this is Jesus speaking, "but I say, love your enemy and do good to those who hate you and those who spite you." Do good. Yes, we bless and pray for our enemies and those who sin against us. But as I like to say, we are psychopneumosomatic beings. In other words, we have a mind and a spirit and a body. Get your body, get your hands to do good, and it will help the other parts forgive. Maybe write a card, send flowers, give a little gift. Maybe go out of your way to help them. If it's a situation that requires boundaries, you can do it anonymously. Send a gift card with no return address, but the act of doing will change the rest of our minds and the rest of our hearts. Because the point is that when your hands do good, your mind and spirit will forgive more easily, and that is a fact. And maybe you'll win them over. Maybe you won't. But I promise you will win yourself back. Or better put, you will become yourself again. You will shine up the image of God in you once again. Why else would Jesus tell us to do good to those who hate you and those who spite you? But because it works. If you're having trouble forgiving, first, remember the good that person does, and second, do something good for them. The traditions of the church really do work. They really do help us forgive, and they really do help us become ourselves again. President Garfield was shot, but he didn't die from the bullet. He died from probing at the wound for months afterwards. Clara Barton, on the other hand, was cheated, betrayed, and humiliated, and she found life. She found life and peace that not even her sister could find, because Clara Barton, even when she didn't feel like it, chose to forgive, chose to let go, and chose to let the light in. And not even God can heal your wounds if you keep picking at them. Mom was right. But if you forgive others their debts, your Father in heaven will willingly and quickly forgive you yours. And in doing so, you will become yourself again. Amen.
Amen.